just about this time of year each year, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community are preparing to celebrate Passover. They'll celebrate that in their homes, as their tradition has done for just about 3,000 years, when they gather to eat the sacrificial lamb and to remember God's mighty deeds, God's saving power, how he brought their ancestors from slavery to freedom and to a new life in the promised land. And one of the traditions they follow when they gather in their homes to eat that meal, there's a ritual they follow, and it lasts about till 11 o'clock at night, if you've ever been to a family celebrating Passover. And there are rituals for each member of the family, and it's tradition that the youngest child in the family asks a question. And the question is, why is this night different from all other nights? Which gives the father the opportunity to recount God's saving deeds and mighty power. You might ask the same question about this Mass, might you not? Why is this Mass different from most of the Sunday Masses we go to? There's already been a few differences, and there'll be some more. What's the difference? One difference will be in a few moments, some of you will come to celebrate the ritual of washing the disciples' feet. Now, if you'd never been in a Catholic church before, if you didn't know anything about Christianity, nothing about our culture, and you just happened into church tonight and see the one who, you know, as Jesus mockingly said once, loves to sit in the chief seats of the synagogue, and who loves to wear long robes and marks of respect in public, and the salutation, Rabbi, that person, obviously a leader of the community in some sense, down on his knees, washing people's feet. What would you make of that? Why are they doing that on this night? They don't do it any other time. What does that mean? Well, you know, in the days of Jesus, people who came as guests and had walked through dusty paths and dirty streets needed to have their feet washed when they got to their host's house. The host would not do that, of course. He'd have a slave do that. Not just any slave, but the lowest slave. The one who had no status whatever in the household. He'd be ordered to bring water and wash the feet of the guests. It was a lowly, dirty task that not many people would do. Not any that considered that they had any dignity at all. It was slave work. Now, you know, Jesus had never tired of telling his disciples and never tired of telling us, you know, that in his kingdom, the first would be last and the last would be first. The greatest would be least and the least greatest. And those who exalted themselves would be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus never tires of telling us that. So on this night, he showed his disciples then, and his disciples now, what it is to humble yourself. The disciples were astounded that he would do that. Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, said St. Peter. Jesus said, well, if I don't, you won't have any part in me. You won't know what it's like to humble yourself. Peter says, well, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus puts into practice what he had preached, that those who humble themselves will be exalted. So he strips off his garments and ties the towel around himself and washes their feet. That's one difference we're learning tonight. When those who are counted some way leaders become the servants. Jesus says, I'm doing this as an example for you. So, the priest does it because Jesus did it and does it as an example for you so that when you go out from here, you can know how, following Jesus, you can humble yourself and do something that might be the equivalent of slave labor for somebody. Somebody who needs it worse than you do. So another way we're going to practice that care for the least and the last tonight. And it's been the tradition of the church since way in the early centuries of the church that on this night people brought gifts for the poor. The offering on Holy Thursday is always for the poor, those who need it worse than we do. So, you know, there's always a presentation of the gifts at Mass. Somebody on your behalf brings the bread and wine to the altar. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to bring your gift to the altar. You know, in early church, there were two processions. There was a procession when everybody came to the altar bringing their gift. And then after Thanksgiving was made for those gifts, they came back in another procession to receive the gift of Christ. Your gift transformed into his gift. So I'm going to invite you to bring your gift to the poor when we have that preparation of the gifts. There'll be some baskets here. Some of you have brought your rice bowls for world hunger. Some of you may have brought an offering for the St. Vincent de Paul for those in need in our own neighborhood. So at that time, we'll invite you to come, just like you come to communion, and bring your gift to the altar. That's a difference. One of the ways this night is different from all other nights. And then we'll remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the gift of his body and blood. And with one of the church's most profound acts of worship, reserve that sacred body of Christ in the day chapel where We can remain in prayer, remembering Jesus' prayer in the garden, and watch with him and pray. In that time of adoration and prayer and hearing the gospel of the Lord, will continue till 10 o'clock. You might offer some of that time before the Blessed Sacrament, watching with Jesus, preparing to celebrate on Good Friday his sacrifice. And we'll close there by praying the church's office of night prayer or compline, and continue in silence and fasting as we pray or prepare to come to venerate the cross. Yes, this night and these days are different from all other nights and days, in order to proclaim God's mighty power and his saving deeds in the mystery of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, one of the ancient prophets said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land." So let us pray these days that through the wounds of Christ, we and our land may be healed.